You're in a good place now. You are listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. The next step. Tonight we're talking about the next step, how to get the most out of your life. I'll be talking about the four tips to moving from mediocre to an amazing life. You know, I've been told by a lot of people that my life is like a novel, an action-adventure film. And people tell me that I should write a book about my life, how awesome it is. And I think everybody out there can have that life, a life that they love, a life of adventure. And I think you can attain this easily with clarity, love, and understanding. And tonight I'm going to be offering the four things that you can begin doing now to change your life from so-so to awesome. You know, because life is supposed to be lived. Life is supposed to be amazing. We're supposed to have these amazing adventures, amazing things that happen, and feel really good about our life. And I think sometimes we get stuck in certain ways and certain habits that keep us from really feeling and experiencing all that life has to offer. And tonight I'm going to help you reveal those four things that you can begin doing tonight to go from mediocre to amazing and to be able to embrace the life that you've always wanted, the life that you've always dreamed of, the life that you think other people have. Because it's not true. It's not that other people can have this amazing life and you can't. You can. And we need to begin to focus on certain things to make that happen. And the first thing that you can begin doing tonight, right now, is to be you. And I know that sounds easier. Like, Ashley, come on, what does that mean to be me? I'm supposed to be me, and that's going to make my life amazing? That's why my life's where it's at right now. Well, no, I think that's not true. In order to be you, first off, we have to be happy in our own skin. We have to be happy with ourselves, happy in our own skin, happy with the way we feel, happy with the way we look. Embrace all those things. Embrace all that stuff about ourselves to really appreciate our life. And bigger than that is to love yourself. I mean, when we love ourselves, when you love yourself and you genuinely do care and love yourself, it shows in everything you do. Everything you do shows that you love yourself, or the opposite. And I know there's a lot of people out there right now say, hey, you know, I do everything I can. I'm trying my best. You know, but sometimes I get down. And I understand that. We all get down. I don't think that anybody's ever up positive. Everything's hunky-dory 24/7. I don't know about that. I know that it's human to sometimes get down. I know it's human to sometimes beat ourselves up. But it's like we have to kind of look at the equation. I know for a fact that every time I beat myself up over something, it doesn't do me any good. You know, honestly, it holds me back. And it makes me feel bad, and it makes me feel like there's nothing I can do to better myself. There's nothing I can do to help the situation. And I feel like my hands are tied. And when we feel helpless, what happens? It's not a good feeling. Feeling helpless and hopeless, it doesn't lead to a good outcome. To me, when I feel helpless and hopeless, I don't feel like I can do anything to change the situation. I feel like I'm stuck. That I might not even get up. I might as well just sleep. Because at least I can get some sleep. Otherwise, I just feel like I'm hitting my head against a wall. And when I'm having a difficult time, maybe embracing some of the setbacks or, you know, really having to focus on honest patience. And I know that that can be difficult for all of us. I mean, patience with yourself is one of those things that it takes patience to get. It's like a riddle. In order to have patience, you must get patience. I'm serious. It's like we have to take time to get to know ourselves and time to understand and to cultivate our understanding of ourselves. And, you know, I think that a lot of this comes from and stems from understanding and acknowledging what we do love. What do we love? What can we not live without? And on the flip side of that same coin, heads or tails, tails or head, what bothers you? Knowing what bothers you and knowing what you love are not only instinctful, but you know what? They help us to analyze who we are. I mean, like, I've actually met you know, clients that have come into my office, and we've talked about this, and they've said, you know, hey, yes, I might have gotten married three other times, and maybe my marriages have all failed, but you know what? I know what I don't want. I don't want narcissism. I don't want this. I don't want that. And I go, you know, sometimes it takes to know what you don't want before you can figure out what you do. And I think a lot of that stems back to the fact that we aren't always loving ourselves. Because I know when I'm beating myself up, or I'm upset, or I'm disappointed with myself, I have a tendency of making not so thoughtful decisions. And I'll give you a good example. And I'm sure a lot of people have done this before. Is anybody out there that's listening tonight, you can raise your hand if you want, you know, just gotten so down on your career, gotten so down on where you are in the job cycle, in the career cycle, that you start looking in the newspaper, looking at the want ads, doing whatever, and you start randomly just sending out your resume to anybody because you just want to change. And you start taking phone calls from companies because you think it's a good idea. Your friends are sending you stuff, you go with it. And the next thing you know, they're wanting you to buy some sort of product or service from them. And that's when it all hits you between the two eyes that you're grasping at straws. And we do that a lot in different areas of our life, because when it's our career that had gotten us frustrated, if it's our marriage, if it's our friends, our family, we have a tendency to want to move, to change, to escape, because we're unhappy. We don't know how to change it. And sometimes when you're hitting your head against the wall so many times about the same thing, you finally just say, you know what? I don't know what to go from. I don't know where to go from here. What am I supposed to do? And I think instead of turning around and accepting ourselves and embracing ourselves and loving ourselves and showing ourselves the love and support that we need, instead of doing that, we shun ourselves. We get angry at ourselves. We take it out on ourselves. And it becomes like this slippery slope. Whereas things start to upset us, as our patience starts to unravel, as our stress level starts to increase, and ever increasing, as the headache or the migraine comes about, you start getting even more angrier with where you are at this current time in your life. And at that point in time, we have to realize, yes, these things bother us, but to be you and to be comfortable in our own skin, we have to also realize that some of these setbacks are outside of ourselves. Some of these setbacks are outside of our control. Now, some of them aren't. Some of them we can work with. Some of them we have the ability to work with. We have the ability to change. We have the ability to circumvent. We have the ability to do a lot of things that sometimes we don't feel like we have. But other times we get bombarded and beaten down by the things that we really can't change at the time, or the things that are a bit out of our control. You know, a lot of it too is that we aren't our friends to ourselves. We're not our best friend. We're friends to everybody else. We're friends to strangers. We're friends to kids and the elderly. But when it comes to us, we beat ourselves down on a second-to-second basis. Think about it. How hard are you on yourself every day? Would you say on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being the worst, 1 being really not so much, how hard are you on your looks, on your intelligence, on your ability, on your emotional standpoint? When you look in the mirror, how hard are you on yourself? How hard are you critiquing your physical features? When you think about your career, how hard are you on your productivity level? Better yet, your overall ability, your intelligence. Because in order to be your own best friend, we have to sit back and stop judging ourselves on such a negative, corrosive basis. We have to stop judging ourselves and look at ourselves for face value, because a best friend, if you truly are a best friend of somebody, you are not constantly judging them. You look at them for who they are, the values they have, what they do. And I think that that's a big deal that we have to sit there and look at for ourselves, because if we really truly care about ourselves and we want the best for us, we got to begin by being our own best friend. Being the best friend that we can have allows us to love ourselves and nurture ourselves, and it also allows us to be better friends to other people. When we're able to embrace our own life and love ourselves, we're able to embrace other people. We're able to help other people. We're able to understand how to be a good friend because we know what it takes to be our own good friend. And in order to understand and to make more out of life and to take our life from mediocre to awesome to amazing, we begin this by finding and nurturing and seeing the love within ourselves and loving ourselves on a daily basis. When I return, I'm going to continue with those four tips to moving life from mediocre to amazing and what you can begin doing tonight to take that next step to get the most out of your life. Stay tuned, because Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back this time in two shakes.
Up and jump in the deep end on Perspectives. Now, here's Ashley.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. Tonight we're talking about taking the next step, how to get the most out of your life. And we're talking about the four tips for moving from mediocre to amazing. This is an amazing show because it's all about taking that so-so life, taking that frustrated life, and making it a work of art, making it something amazing that other people will go, wow, man. You should write a novel. Your life is like an action-adventure film. Love and passion wrapped up in action and adventure should be the next top hit. You should be played by, Angelina Jolie. For you men out there, whoever else you like, Tom Cruise or, I don't know who. If I was a man, I'm trying to think who I would want to play me in a film. If I was a dude and I was a really cool guy, I wonder who I would want to play. See, I can't even wrap my brain around that. I really can't right now. But I'm trying to think from a woman's perspective. It just kind of depends. I mean, I guess maybe I want to play myself. But if I couldn't, maybe I could. Maybe I could just do the crazy scenes where I'm jumping out of buildings and jumping over fire and walking on coals and that kind of sort of thing. You know, be my own stunt woman. But no, but going back to the concept of the four tips for moving past mediocre into an amazing life, you know, right before the break, I was talking about being you. Being happy in your own skin. Loving yourself. That's such a big deal to love yourself. It's so awesome. And you can begin to love yourself by stopping the incessant head case judgment on yourself. I mean, the way that we talk to ourselves and the way we think about ourselves, it's like a constant 24/7 assault. That's got to end. The negative self-talk is one of those things that gets you every time. And it's hard to be your best friend, and it's hard to love yourself when you're constantly hearing the things that you don't do well, the things that are lacking in your life, the disappointments, the failures. I mean, how many times do we focus on the failures in our life? I mean, it's like sometimes we are so stuck on the failures that we can't get our head out of the rain. We can't seem to move on, and we don't know if we should trust ourselves with making a change, because what if it doesn't go the way we plan? What if instead it falls to pieces like the last time we tried to do something with our life? It falls to pieces and we shouldn't have done it anyway. We wasted time. We wasted our emotional expense. We wasted money. Everything else. And we sit there and we just kind of beat ourselves down and say, you know what? But on the flip side, we got to make that next move. We got to make that step. We got to take the step. And part of that taking that step is validation. It validates that we're worth taking the next step. For all you out there that have tried to create something in the past and it didn't work, and you have a great idea and you have a great concept and you know how to put the plan into action, get it together. Because otherwise, if you really believe in it and you know that it can come true and you can see it and you can facilitate it and you know that you can make it happen, if you don't try it, you'll always regret it. When we don't try things, we end up regretting it because that regret kind of, I don't know, it just kind of takes over our life. And if you're wanting to be you and to love yourself, stopping regret, not allowing any more regret into your life is key. You know, the second thing that you can begin doing tonight to move from mediocre to amazing life is to live every minute as if it might be your last. And I like to just say just live every minute, because I don't always think that we have to go from one extreme to another. I don't think that just because you think you're going to die doesn't mean that you have to live every minute. I think you want to live every minute as if you are alive. Live every minute as if you're alive, and you're alive even more alive if you live every minute. I think a lot of people walk around like in a half-life. They're not really taking advantage of what life has to offer. They're kind of walking through life aimlessly. They got the phone in their face as they're texting, as they're walking across the street on a constant basis, barely looking. Half of them aren't even looking at traffic. Most of them are missing the opportunities of a lifetime because they're not aware of the life around them. They're not consciously aware. They're not absolutely at all in sync with their life. I saw some people the other day walking by going to the grocery store. And as they were walking across the street, they had their heads in their phones, texting, not paying attention. One guy almost got run over. And it's interesting how you see like these chance meetings sometimes too, just from the outside perspective looking in. And it doesn't happen because it's not there, because they have not allowed themselves to have synchronicity, because they're staying on the sidelines in their life. When we stay on the sidelines in our life, we miss out. And so the step of living every minute is one of the most important things you can do. Is you got to take the time to live. And I know that all this so far sounds simple. I get it. But life is actually simple. It really is. We have taken a simple life and made it the most difficult thing we can possibly do. The simplest art is the most amazing art. Okay? The simplest ideas are the ideas that make the most money, that make the most sense. It's when we start making things difficult that it corrupts a clear life. And we've done a really good job of making things very difficult, especially in the last, I don't know, 20 years, 30, 40 years. I'm focusing on the wrong things. I'm focusing on the things that don't matter. I mean, a good example, think about all the women out there that all they can think about is buying the next pair of Louis Vuitton shoes or the next Prada bag because they want to look good in front of all their friends and show off. Why does a bag indicate status? Why does a watch indicate status? Who cares? Why do you have to spend $150,000 on a certain specific watch, and you're supposed to keep that until you give it to generation upon generation, and that's what deems you as being a good quality person that has their head in the game? It doesn't make any sense. We put all these barriers to our happiness. I gotta buy that. I gotta have that. I gotta use that. I gotta have that. I gotta drive that. I gotta be that. Instead of forgetting all that and taking the time to live. Taking the time to smell the roses. The time to look up and see the sky. And really look and see it. Not just look, oh, nice clouds, nice, yeah. Think about how many times we look down. Think about how many times you look down versus looking up. Why is that? Why do we look down so much at the ground? We're constantly looking at the ground. Why do we look at the ground more than we look up? I find that interesting. Because if you really think about it, I've done some scientific study on clients of mine that were addicted to drugs, addicted to alcohol, went through the rehab process, went through treatment, went through sober living, and now they've been sober for, you know, 2 to 5 years. And in that process, I've asked them specific questions. And one of my specific questions that I like to ask is, how much do you now look down? And at first, most people go, excuse me, I don't know what you're talking about. And when we return, I'm going to explain what I mean by looking down and what's changed in those clients and patients and what you can do in your own life. Stay tuned because Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back in. Be back this time in two shakes.
This is Jake Busey, and you're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. Tonight, we're talking about the next step. We're talking about the next step, getting the most out of your life. And I'm talking about the four tips for moving from a mediocre to an amazing life. And right before the break, I was talking about the concept of looking down versus looking up. And I've had some patients in the past that have gone through a drug addiction, rehab, sober living, come out the other side, been sober for 2 to 5 years. And one of the questions I asked them, point blank, how much do you look up now compared to when you were addicted? Or do you find yourself looking down as much as you did when you were on drugs? And normally they kind of don't know what I'm talking about. And I said, hey, think about it. When you were doing drugs and you were kind of inundated in the system, stuck in that system, taking chemicals and pills and stuff to keep yourself down, drinking depressants on a constant basis, how much did you look down? And they go, oh, you mean like at my feet? I go, yeah, how much time did you look down at your feet? They go, all the time. Well, I look down at my feet all the time, or I look down at my phone all the time. And a lot of times when I'd come into social situations, especially under the influence, I chose to look down more so that people couldn't look in my eyes or they couldn't see my pupils or what have you. So I just try to keep away from eye contact, look down more, didn't want to make a lot of eye contact, that sort of thing. I said, what about now? And they said, I catch myself looking up more. And that's part of living every minute. The second tip for making your life amazing, from leaving mediocre, from leaving so-so to ultra amazing, is to begin to look up, to examine, to clearly see the sky. How many times have you clearly looked up and seen the clouds and seen the sky? How many times have you clearly looked up and really looked at the night sky for more than a minute? How many? I mean, to me, it's like a painting. It almost tells a story. Actually, it does tell a story. It's a very interesting, rapidly changing canvas that I find extremely interesting. And it wasn't until I spent time actually looking at this canvas we call the sky that I was able to see things. And I thought it was amazing. And just, there's a lot of people out there that gaze at the sun. And I realize that there's a lot more than meets the eye. And the reason why I started doing this is I said, hey, we'll stay inside and watch the TV for countless hours about nothing. We will take an hour, 2, 3, 4 hours of our time and watch the boob tube for hours. What we get out of it, I don't know. What we get out of it, I don't know. The last time I saw something that really was riveting to me was a documentary, and I'm not a big documentary watcher, but, and I don't know, maybe I'm starting to be that, was a documentary about living in Antarctica, about going up there and working and living in Antarctica, of all things, during the wintertime. And I liked it so much that I watched it 3 times, because you know what, it was actually educational. And it taught me something, and it told me something that I didn't know. And I didn't know when the next time I'll be in Antarctica. But then I realized some of the other habits that I've had on watching TV, and I realized if I will sit there and watch a repeat of Seinfeld, which I love, don't get me wrong, but if I'll watch the Soup Nazi episode for the 18th time, I find it's okay to go outside and look at the night sky for half an hour. And this is part of living every minute. You've heard of smelling the roses. Doing that on a daily basis. Paying attention to the foliage, to the plants, to the trees, to the animals. I mean, getting down to the crickets, to the squirrels. And you know, it's funny, the other day I see this all the time, but I should have taken a video of it. I saw a lady walking her dog. It was a cute little dog. It was one of those kind of dogs that if you don't say it appropriately, it sounds like I'm cussing on the radio. And she's walking the dog, but she literally has the leash in the left hand and the phone in the right. She's absolutely not paying attention to anything. And that poor dog is so wanting attention, glad to be on the walk. But it's like the dog wants to hang out with her. And it's kind of sad because she's giving all her attention to the phone. And I think a lot of times we live our life like that, even if we're not walking a dog, even if we're walking on our own from point A to point B. How many of you have enough gumption to put the phone in the pocket or in the purse and let it go? It's like we're addicted to this. It's like this comfort. It's like this security blanket, this phone now. It's like if there's one little dull moment, you pull out the phone. If there's nobody around to entertain you, you pull out the phone. When was the last time you were at a restaurant with folks and everything was fine and one person pulls out their phone and then everybody else follows suit? It's like nobody wants to be left out. Everybody wants to assume that there's somewhere else they can be that's better than where they're at. I mean, I thought it was funny. I had a client come in about 2 weeks ago and say that they gave a birthday party for a friend. And they said that she was on her phone the whole time. She goes, I'll never give a party for her ever again. She was so rude. She literally stayed on her phone the entire time. Who does that? You have 15 people there having dinner with you, and you would rather be hanging out with the people that aren't there? Really? And I think that's where we're missing out on living every minute. We're living in an idea of a digital age. We're living in the idea of something, not in the reality of something. It's like we'd rather be anywhere that we're not. We want to be somewhere else, anywhere but here, anywhere but here. Please, God, take me away. Calgon, take me away. We got to get off the phone. We got to get our face out of the phone, and we got to be in the moment. The more we're in the moment, the more we live every minute, the more we live every minute, the more we experience things, the more we see, the more clarity we get, the more amazing our life can become because we're actually participating in life. In order to live life, you got to participate. Living is equal to participation. Living in the phone and on Facebook and all that is like being on the sidelines. I want to be in the coach. Put me in the game, coach. I want to be in the game, coach. Put me in the game. That's what I want to do. Don't sit me on the sidelines. I don't want to be here if I'm sitting on the bench. And that's where I feel like a lot of our lives have gone. We watch shows and we live vicariously through these people and their reality shows and their life and their despair and their dysfunction. We live through the phone because we go, okay, well, you know what? So-and-so and so-and-so are instant messaging me. Or so-and-so's texting me. And sometimes it's hard for me, too, to put that down and to say, you know what, Ashley? You got to live every moment. You know, we have to see and acknowledge the power of you. I got to see and acknowledge the power of my being just like you do. And we have to acknowledge our ability to be part of anything and everything we want to be a part of. You know, a lot of times we feel like, you know, you walk into an event, you don't know anybody. And how easy is it to discredit the event, discredit the people, if you're not willing to introduce yourself? If you're not willing to say hi, if you're not willing to start a conversation? If you're like shut off and everybody else is shut off, then you're no longer a part of anything and you're going to walk away being upset and disgruntled. You know what I'm saying? Because, you know, you feel like there's no reason for you to be there. Why should you be there? Why should you be there when there's not even any communication? And the same goes for living. What is going on when you're living your whole life based on that phone and based on a digital age when you're not actually living? Instead, You're standing on the sidelines. When we return, I'm going to give you the other two tips on how to go from mediocre to an amazing life and what you can begin doing tonight to make those changes now. Stay tuned because Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back in. Be back this time in two shakes. You could
be my luck. Get in here. You're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess. We'll be safe and sound.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. Tonight we're talking the next step, how to get the most out of your life, and the four tips for moving from mediocre to an amazing life. You know, the first thing we talked about was about being you, loving yourself, feeling good about your own self, being good and feeling comfortable in your own skin, as well as being your best friend. We also talked about living every moment, living every minute of the time, being there, taking a part of life, getting out of the phone, acknowledging the power that you have, getting off the sidelines, and being an integral part in life. You know, the next thing that you can do to go from mediocre to amazing is to open your heart. We can open our heart and realize that love is the key to the answer to everything. Love is the only true emotion. And when we understand that love is the only true emotion, we realize that when we are fearful, when we do feel hatred, when we do feel anger and resentment, it clouds our judgment for the reality of what's happening around us. With love comes life. With fear comes death, comes confusion. It's basically when we have fear, we feel as if we can't make a right decision, and we feel as though our hands are tied. And we usually make not really good decisions when we're fearful, when we're angry, when we're depressed, when we're upset. And when we open our heart, we're able to embrace other people. We're able to embrace other people, but we're also able to embrace ourselves. And when we're able to be ourselves, like we talked about earlier, and we're also living every minute, if you're being yourself and you're happy in your own skin and you've embraced yourself and you're living every minute and you're seeing things for how they truly are and you're actually having clarity in your life like you've never had before. And when you have that clarity and you're experiencing life at every moment, you are also increasing your success rate of having synchronicity. At that point, when your life is in sync, in order to keep it in sync, you have to open your heart and you have to love and understand that loving is key. To love everybody is key. To love everybody is key because that's really the real reason why we're here. Because when we love other people, it really kind of comes back and boomerangs toward us and it loves us. When we hate other people, we get that hate back. When we feel weird around other people, when we feel anxiety, we get that anxiety back. Whatever we give out, we get back in return. It's very interesting. And, you know, it kind of goes back to being you and being comfortable within you. If you don't feel happy with yourself or you feel insecure with yourself, that's going to be projected in every situation. That's going to be projected in every relationship you have and every situation you have and every work situation. If you don't feel like you're worthy, other people will not feel as though you are worthy either. Realizing that love is the only true path and that everything else is an illusion is key. All you need is love. The Beatles said it best. All you need is love. And I'm not saying you don't need food and shelter and stuff like that, but I'm saying when you get love, when you give love, when you receive love, I think that is the only thing that truly matters. Because it's the hierarchy. I don't think that any gift can outweigh true, unconditional love. To feel love and to be loved is amazing. And when you give love to other people and you love other people, that is a trajectory that projects back to you. It's like a boomerang and it comes back around. And in order to begin to do that, you got to let go of fear. You got to let go of resentment. And you know what? You may have had to deal with somebody pulling strings that you may have felt like a puppet your whole life, but you don't have to put that on other people. You don't have to put that on other people. Just because maybe your parents treated you a certain way, for some of y'all out there, it was a conditional type love. If you make these grades, if you do this, if you do that, I will love you. But you don't have to transfer that onto other people. You don't have to make your kids go through the same process. It's about stopping the continuation of a cycle that no longer works, reinventing that, changing it around and working from a loving, logical perspective. Because when things are not done in a real loving way, it feels weird. You know what I'm saying. When people do things that are a little underhanded, you can kind of feel it. It's mischievous. It feels odd. It feels a little out of place. It feels wrong. And when things are done out of love, no matter how things happen, but they were done for the love of the other person because the other person cared about them and loved them, no matter what happens, it always seems to work out. The next step that you can take tonight to go from mediocre to amazing is to get past the mainstream. To dance and groove to your own beat. To dance and groove and sing to your own song. When we get past the mainstream, we open up our mind to other options. We are no longer held down by what the majority of the people constantly see, or what we're told we need to watch or ingest or listen to. We're also beginning to become aware of the content and the lyrics and the music that we listen to. A lot of us aren't aware of what we listen to. We are unaware of what we watch as far as the content, and we allow these things to take hold in our mind. We allow them to take mind share when they should never have had it to begin with. And we allow this content to cloud our judgment and for us to see things in a certain specific way. You can't unthink something. You can't unsee something. You can't unsee something. You can't unhear something. So once something goes in, no matter if you hear it one time and you're not really paying that much attention, subconsciously it's in your mind forever. Our minds are amazing tools, and one of the things they do is they hold on to every single thing that comes in our ears or our eyes, it holds on to. Now, whether or not you are aware of it, that's to be determined. However, I'll tell you one thing, everything that we take in subconsciously outlines our life. And when we realize that what we take in, what we see, what we listen to, what we watch can actually impact our life on every level, that's when we begin to make better decisions. And that's when we have to make better decisions, because aren't we in control of our own destiny? Aren't we in control of our own life? And better yet, aren't we able to make the choices that we want for the options that we will allow in our mind, in our head, the things that we will allow into our headset, into our eyes, into our ears, and to be aware, honestly, of the tactics, to be aware of the reasons for certain content, and to avoid certain content because we know that it will not help our life, it will not benefit our life, it will just increase the fear factor. And again, I go back to the concept of love. Any time in life that there is content that is based on fear and fear-mongering, you have to look at that and also analyze and acknowledge the fact that there's a reason to create the fear. Because fear causes people to do crazy things. Fear. When you're in a fear-based system, people will do things that they would normally not ever do. However, if you take the fear away and you put love in, and you eliminate the content that contributes to the fear, your life will change. I've had several clients come into my office who watch and listen to the news and other types of broadcasting 24/7. And I'm not saying that some of this is not useful, but an over-excessive amount of this actually starts to begin to make us question our own life, because it begins at the root of our ability to make change. We as humans find power in ourselves when we are able to do something about something. When we feel as though our hands are tied and we have no ability to do anything, we feel as though we are useless and helpless. And any time that we feel useless and helpless, guess what? We get down on ourselves. We beat ourselves up. We feel remorseful. We get depressed. We don't know if we want to get out of bed or not. Is it worth it? Will we be able to do anything to change the situation? And we get overpowered by the things that aren't working to the point that we can't see the forest through the trees, and then we're stuck. We're stuck because we can no longer enjoy life anymore. We can no longer live for the moment anymore because we're fear. There's a lot of fear there, and bad things are happening, and we don't have the ability to do anything about it, and we feel like, you know, our hands are tied. And we just keep taking in more and more of that content to the point where we start questioning every facet of our ability. Every facet of our ability is questioned. We question every single point. Our power, our ability, our connection with the source. And so in order to really go from mediocre to an amazing life, we do have to get past the mainstream. We got to really think about the content that we're watching. We have to determine its authentic value. We have to determine its distinctful value within our life. The things that work for us. What takes our life to the next level. The stuff that works. The stuff that's engaging. And the things that we can actually handle and help our own true life. We have to be aware of the tactics of the fear and not to buy into it. And to really find what really truly fits us and works for us and makes us have and see ourselves as who we truly are. So as we begin to get past the mainstream and open our heart and see love, experience love, and give love, and as we live every moment by looking up and not down, and as we love ourselves and become more comfortable in our own skin, therefore, at that point in time, we move immediately from mediocre to an amazing life. And I want you to have an amazing life. Stay tuned, and we have a great show next for you. Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back this time in three shakes.